You're listening to the heartbeat of the University of Maryland, Baltimore, the UMB Pulse.
Hello, everyone. This is the December 2nd edition of the UMB Pulse. I'm Charles Schley.
I'm Dana Rampola.
And I'm Jenna Frick. Later, we will learn about UMB's tie-in with the Southwest Partnership and how to help community nonprofits during the holidays. Joining us on the program will be Southwest Partnership Executive Director Tony Scott and Ashley Vallis, who is both a board member at the Southwest Partnership and the Executive Director of Community Engagement and Strategic Initiatives here at UMB.
We really want to hear your thoughts and ideas of what you'd like to hear in the spring semester. Visit umaryland.edu/pulse and fill out the form with your thoughts, or make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on wherever you listen to the UMB Pulse. We're basically everywhere: Apple, Google, Amazon, Spotify. It's not hard to find us.
Yeah, definitely let us know on how you want to shape the UMB Pulse. And as Jenna mentioned, we're rolling into the holidays, and there are plenty of things to do around campus and the city to get you into the festive spirit this weekend. And I have to say, I'm guilty of not attending any of these that I'm going to talk about. So maybe I should make a point of it to go at least to one of these, maybe. So the first one I want to mention is on Thursday, December 2nd, the Washington Monument at Mount Vernon Place and Washington Place will be lit with the ceremony starting at 5 p.m. Have any of you been to that one?
I haven't actually. I know where you're talking about.
Yeah. Right up on the hill. And then on Saturday, December 4th, the Baltimore Lighted Boat Parade will sail through the Inner Harbor and Fells Point. That parade will start around 4:30 p.m. in Anchorage Marina, which is right across from the Safeway on Boston Street. I love myself a good boat parade. I know that there was one in Pasadena this past weekend that one of my friends went to, but they had them in Florida. It seemed like for every holiday. It was so great.
Well, I guess because it's nice and warm down there.
Well, of course.
There,
yeah. So. Santa's in shorts. So.
Yeah. Also, there's water everywhere in Florida, right? Whether it's the ocean or a swamp.
Well, we have kind of like a large bay here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of surprising that we don't have more boat parades.
Yeah, we really don't. We did have the dragon races. Is that what they were called?
Dragon boat races?
Dragon,
oh,
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a thing for a while. Well, and Charles, the 48th Annual Mayor's Christmas Parade is going to kick off at 1 p.m. on Sunday, December 5th. That's on West 36th Street in Hamden. So we can go from the water to the streets. And you might as well stick around Hamden for sunset, because that's when the Miracle on 34th Street lights are back. And you can stroll along the 700th block of 34th Street through New Year's Eve. Most homes have their lights on between 6 and 10 p.m.
I cannot imagine the electric bill for any of those homes during this time of year.
All worth it for spreading holiday cheer, right?
My latest pre-COVID but Hamden memory of the, what is that, 34th Street lights is my son's best friend got engaged there a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
sweet.
It was really sweet. And his girlfriend was completely surprised. And we were all there just pretending we were looking at lights. And he got down in the middle of the street and proposed. It was just
what a great
so
backdrop
awesome.
For pictures of that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
adorable.
Yeah.
Also, down at the Inner Harbor, if you want some more holiday cheer, they have the German Christmas Village set up with all these very cool vendors set up. And there's also this, I don't know if it's workable or just for show, but this giant Ferris wheel that's all lit up at night and like flashes. It's really cool looking. And then there's also the annual Inner Harbor Ice Rink, which is set up so you can rent some skates and go ice skating at the Inner Harbor.
I've been to the German Christmas Village before. It is really cool. And they have tons of stuff that you can buy inside their little tent. It does get crowded on the weekend, so just be prepared. You know, this isn't in the city, but it's worth a drive, and it's kind of on my to-do list. Down at the National Harbor, the Gaylord National Harbor, they have this entire event where it's like Christmas movie sets or holiday movie sets.
And it's all made out of ice. That's it's very cool. I went... a few years ago, I've been twice. The first time I went, it was like the Peanuts. So like you walk through, they have all these cool ice sculptures of like Snoopy and Charlie Brown and stuff. And then another year that I went, I think it was the Grinch, like how the Grinch stole Christmas. It's very, very cool.
So this is actually a little bit different than that. They stepped it up a notch.
Yeah.
It's the like actual like movie set. So you're like actually walking through Elf Christmas Vacation, right?
So it's not the ice?
No, it's not the ice. It's like the house from Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that sounds
or
funny.
It's the big snowman and the narwhal from Elf.
Oh my God. Bye, buddy. Funny. Hope you find your dad. I think that's my favorite part of the movie.
I think so.
Oh, man. Wow. So lots and lots of holiday themed stuff to do all around Baltimore, not just here at UMB.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in some holiday cheer here at UMB, at the Community Engagement Center, the annual Christmas store is going to be returning, and that's coming next week. So what that is, it's an initiative that the Community Engagement Center does with the Foundry Church. We partner with them to set up a Christmas store, all based off of donations of toys and other holiday presents set up. And members of the West Baltimore community can sign up for a slot to come shop, and they can buy presents for their kids and loved ones, all for like between $1 and $5. So a very, very, very deeply discounted
incredible deal.
It's wonderful. And what's really great about it, and the whole point of this Christmas store, is to make the parents the heroes of Christmas. So, you know, they can come to the store, actually pick out a present for kids, not just kind of getting whatever donations just go come their way. And they get to purchase it with their own money and really be the heroes of the holidays.
This has to be the year to do that, to participate if you're able, because, you know, the supply chain crisis. So the shelves may be empty.
Right.
So.
And Jenna, what if people want to donate? How can they donate?
Yeah, so people can donate by going to www.foundrybaltimore.com/Christmas store, and Foundry is spelled Foundry. You can go on there and you can donate via a Target registry. So you can actually pick out whatever toys get donated, and then volunteers go probably the beginning of next week. They'll go out and pick up all the toys that were purchased on the registry. They'll have a big, huge event setting it up on Thursday, the 9th. And then on the 10th and 11th, the store will be open for customers to come on by and get some toys. They do have to sign up, though. So it's not just kind of a free for all just because of COVID. We want to limit the number of people who are in the store at a time. Yeah, if you're interested in donating toys to the store, or even just want to volunteer your time to kind of help shoppers pick out their gifts on December 10th or 11th, you can visit the website I mentioned, foundrybaltimore.com/Christmas store.
That sounds great. And also something that our communications and public affairs office is doing is a big push for holiday, how UMB is spreading holiday cheer and spirit. So pay attention to our social media. If you do something that's interesting within your own school or department, post about it and hashtag UMB spread the cheer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, Santa and his elves are going to be busy this year with all these events. And I'm sure Tony and Ashley have some requests for the North Pole later in the show. Before we talk to them, this is your pulse check. COVID-19 tests, vaccinations, and boosters have moved from the Convention Center to the State Center complex at 300 North Preston Street. Vaccination walk-ins are welcome for those 12 and older. Children 5 through 11 years old are being vaccinated by appointment only. Testing can be done either by walk-in or appointment. Testing will be available Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., while vaccination hours are Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Visit our show notes or chapter markers for a link. And that is your pulse check. There are plenty of ways to support your local merchants and nonprofits during the holidays, as well as your neighbors. Here to talk about how you can get involved in the neighborhoods that make up the Southwest Partnership are Tony Scott and Ashley Vallis. Tony is the Executive Director of the Southwest Partnership, and Ashley is the Executive Director of Community Engagement and Strategic Partnerships here at UMB and a board member of Southwest Partnership.
Welcome to the Pulse, guys.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. And happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
So happy to have Tony in the building.
I know.
It's great to be here. It's a beautiful space.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Brand new. So to get things started, Tony, first tell us, what is the Southwest Partnership? What is the whole vision and goal behind the Southwest Partnership?
So the Southwest Partnership is a coalition of 7 neighborhood associations and 6 anchor institutions like University of Maryland, Baltimore. And we all work together to improve the quality of life here in this area of the city.
And what are the neighborhoods that the Southwest Partnership serves?
So we have 7 neighborhoods that we serve, including Poppleton and Hollins Market, also Franklin Square, Union Square, Mount Clair, and Pigtown.
Good swath.
Yeah. And those are all the neighborhoods that the community engagement serves as well, right, Ashley?
Correct.
So, Ashley, how did UMB become involved with the Southwest Partnership?
We actually, you know, it came out of an interaction and conversation that the university was having with community members around a methadone treatment clinic that was leaving our campus and going to be placed in the neighborhood. That did not go over very well with the community members when they heard about it. And so Dr. Perman, who was our president at the time, met with a group of community leaders who voiced their concerns about that, but also how can we make sure this type of collaboration can be improved in the future moving forward for every project that UMB is planning that is going to have an impact in the neighborhood. And so it stemmed from that, but it grew from years of planning. So Brian Sturdivant in the Office of Community Engagement and Jane Schaub from the Biopark started with the conversations with the community. I arrived in 2014 and immediately joined those conversations. And then the Southwest Partnership was incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit organization a few years after that. So it grew from the town and gown relationships, right? But now it is a multi-million dollar community development organization with both anchor institutions on the board and community members, which is awesome.
That's fantastic. And I love that, you know, this is a really great example of UMB and the Office of Community Engagement just living the motto of working hand in hand with the community and actually working with community members to make change and make things better.
Yes. So, you know, when you have examples like the methadone clinic and how, what is the security outside going to be like? And what do people do when they're waiting for the bus? And is this bringing new people into our community? Or is the clinic serving our neighbors? Because maybe if we knew that, we might be more welcoming because it's serving people that live, you know, across the street from me. And so it was having that dialogue that we missed on that example that we hope to really never be in that position again. And I think now that we meet regularly with Tony and a board of neighbors, not only UMB, but the medical center, Grace Medical Center, which is formerly Bon Secours, they are actively involved, and the Bon Secours Community Works. So,
Yeah, you know, and I think just looking around us, like all the presence that we have in this community, you know, between the biopark and then just in our building here that that recently opened as well, it really looks like then that that conversation has benefited the community and the surrounding areas about what's the most effective use for a space or plot of land. How can you help us kind of move forward and revitalize, right?
Right. And this building, before Tony was the leader of the Southwest Partnership, Michael Sipe walked around. He was the former executive director. He walked around with Dr. Perman and myself and Don Rhodes from, you know, our VP for finance and facilities and all of those things who helped make this project happen, walked the neighborhood and said, well, what are some buildings that are available to us for a project like this that might not make sense for a private developer, but that we really want to get off the blighted property roll? Mm-hmm. And so this building, every window was bashed in and it just was looking terrible. And so to see the Community Engagement Center have put $10 million into this property is just amazing. And so how else can we continue to build on that type of legacy moving forward with Tony's direction?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And Ashley, so you're involved on the Southwest Partnership Board. You live in this one of the seven neighborhoods that is involved with the Southwest Partnership. Tony, how did you get involved with the Southwest Partnership as the new executive director?
Well, I got involved with the Southwest Partnership because at the time I was renting in Union Square, which is one of our neighborhoods, and I happened to be looking for a new job. I had not left my job. I was working for the city of Baltimore, working in the mayor's office at the time, and really wanting to get involved in community development, not just from the policy level, high level, but really what does grassroots work look like? And so I said, I wonder if there are any organizations around. You know, I had been living back in Union Square for maybe a year, 2 years. So I wasn't as familiar with what was happening on the ground with local organizations. But I happened to go to church with a board member at the time, Lou Packett, who has recently passed away this year. But he identified me, knew that I was looking around, and said, have you ever heard of the Southwest Partnership? And I said, no, Lou, tell me about it. And from those conversations, he got me involved. He connected me to Michael Sipe at the time, who was just a joy to be able to learn from and work under until his retirement last year.
Mm-hmm. And this has to be really special for you because you're actually from this area, right?
I am. Yes, I am. I have a lot of memories in this area of the city. We used to live here back in the late 80s, early 90s in Union Square, actually. So I'm back in the neighborhood that I grew up in as a kid. And we used to go to Holland's Market to get our fresh produce every Saturday because that's what my grandmother wanted. She wanted her kale and her, you know, collards and her string beans and her pig's feet and all those things at the market. My grandmother's from Southern Virginia. And so when she migrated up here to Baltimore with her six kids living in West Baltimore, she wanted some comfort food and things that reminded her of home. And so I remember growing up, my dad and I would always hop in his truck and go down to Holland's Market and get whatever my grandma needed, and then take it back to her house, her row house, off of Hilton Avenue. And we would devein the collards and we would snap the peas and, you know, and she'd make us a great breakfast. And so anyway, this part of town has a lot of great memories for me. So
and what's
great.
Crazy is my grandmother grew up on South Carey Street, and which is a few blocks from here. Mm-hmm. And met my grandfather when she was working at the 5 and 10 on West Baltimore Street. Wow. And he used to ride the streetcar down West Baltimore Street, and met her in the Southwest Partnership neighborhoods. And the rest is history.
That's
so
hilarious.
When my husband and I bought a house on Holland Street, my grandfather was like, wow, this is coming full circle.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
That's great.
So you probably know the neighborhoods like the back of your hand, both of you, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, when you walk your dog, I have three kids. They're at all the playgrounds. You know, I mean, you still meet a lot of new people. What I love about this area is it is so diverse. I mean, mm-hmm. you have UMB students, UMB faculty and staff, which I know we'll talk about. 50 new live near your work participants live in the neighborhood. Yeah. So that's amazing. But people that have lived here for generations, you know, families that are born and raised in this part of Baltimore. So it's just a wonderful place to live.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tony and Ashley, even though Southwest Partnership has the seven neighborhoods, you know, we're really hyper focused with UMB's kind of presence here in both Holland's Market and Poppleton. So what are maybe some of the things Southwest Partnership has done or maybe will do here in these two neighborhoods?
The Southwest Partnership invests in our neighborhoods in a few different ways. One is investing in people. We have a workforce development program where we actually refer residents and others in our neighborhoods to our anchor institutions, such as University of Maryland, Baltimore, the Medical Center. We have a great anchor referral program where just this year, despite the pandemic, we had 76 intakes. These are folks who are looking for jobs, applying for jobs. We help them navigate that process. It's a little down from last year, but in the year before, mostly because of the pandemic, but we've still been pushing forward and trying to meet safely in person with folks. It tends to be the best way to really connect and help, especially with computer skills and, you know, the resumes and connecting with online portals. But it's been a great initiative and very well received, and UMB has been a great partner in it.
Mm-hmm.
We also have been working closely in Poppleton with Poe Homes and the Tenant Council and the City Housing Authority around redeveloping Poe Homes. It is the oldest public housing site mm-hmm. in Baltimore City. And so that is something that the Southwest Partnership's been actively engaged with, UMB, and a whole host of neighbors. They have various committees. So if folks are familiar with what is happening in East Baltimore, where Perkins Home mm-hmm. is, they started raising those buildings just this year, and they're redeveloping all of those properties over there. And so that's what we hope is going to happen in Poppleton at Poe Homes once that Perkins Home East Baltimore project is finished. So if we can make that happen, that would be an amazing accomplishment for not only Poppleton, but the surrounding area, because we all know how desperately that's needed.
So what's the extent of that work from Southwest Partnerships angle? Because obviously that is a project where you need many partners to do many things, especially HUD, namely one of them.
Well, for the Southwest Partnership, we've been engaged with HUD and HABC, the Housing Authority of Baltimore City, since the beginning of that process. They actually approached us and UMB and other anchors to ask, how do we do this well? How do we engage the community well? Because this is such an important thing to get right. And so we helped them kind of design, think through the steering committee, think through community engagement. Along with that planning process, there were also capital funds that they allocated for kind of small, high impact projects that could be done as well. And so we were really engaged throughout that process and also helping to staff those work groups with community members and make sure that, you know, folks knew if they need to be called, we would call them, because we know some folks don't do email. And so we were heavily engaged in the community engagement aspect of that. And of course, following up and following through with some of those capital projects, even though those funds are coming from the Housing Authority, they still look to us to help ensure that there are local eyes on the ground, making sure that, you know, things don't hit snags.
And it's really important. I think this underscores the importance of having a infrastructure of community members, which is what the Southwest Partnership is. When the Housing Authority and HUD knew that they wanted to redevelop this project, they knew they didn't have the relationships over here to do it well and to garner a tremendous amount of community input. Because again, while there are 200 plus families that live in Poe, if you are going to rebuild that entire development, it's going to impact Holland's Market and the rest of Poppleton. And so they came to Southwest Partnership in particular to say, who are the people we need at the table? And we want many people at the table, and you know them, but we don't. So will you help us bring this project to life? And if they weren't here, you know, that would make, you know, projects like that take longer, perhaps not have as much community voice. And so I think that really is a good example of why it's so important and why I love that the partnership exists.
Right. Because, I mean, you're essentially either guiding or providing a way to have a voice for community members. They may feel voiceless.
And we strive to do better on that every day, because, even with the Southwest Partnership and the infrastructure that they have built, there are always residents who can't come to board meetings or they work in the evenings when the board meets. And so we're not here to say that we have every voice at the table, but at least it's better than if there was not this infrastructure. You know, that would be a real mess for large scale redevelopment projects.
Yeah. Right. And you're also providing an opportunity for people to get that seat at the table, which is just as important, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, going from giving a voice to residents to voice to businesses. So it's the holiday time. Everyone has their pocketbooks and wallets opened up. So how can you support local merchants in these neighborhoods and some of the shops during the holidays?
Many of you know that we have a main street in our boundaries, Pigtown Main Street. They have a Pigtown Festival every year, well attended, and a great program to support local merchants there. They are actually having a pigtacular, spectacular holiday.
I want to hear about
extravaganza.
This.
Extravaganza.
Yeah, a holiday shopping program where if you patronize at least one of the businesses, at least $10, you can enter yourself into a raffle that they'll have. So it goes through December 4th, I believe. But it's just an example of the wonderful programming they have to incentivize supporting our local merchants. The Southwest Partnership continues to support development along Baltimore Street. And we just helped a new business open up at 1600 West Baltimore Street called Richie's Lounge. So it's a Caribbean restaurant and bar and lounge that we supported with over $20,000 in facade improvement support. And just it's a wonderful business. I've actually been inside. It looks amazing. I'm like, oh, this could be in D.C. It's very well done.
Wow.
And the owner is very open to community projects and events and support. And so I'm just excited to be able to continue to help redevelop and build Baltimore Street.
If you ever need a gift, the Charm City Bookstore is on the Pigtown Main Street on Washington Boulevard. And they have fabulous gifts. I mean, not only books, they have every birthday party that my kids go to, and I'm always last minute, I run to Charm City Books upstairs. They have an entire children's room, and they have puzzles and games and arts and crafts. And so that's a really hyper local example.
Yeah,
of
yeah, sounds like great stocking
you
stuffers.
You can get all of your people on your list taken care of there, and then across the street, Culinary Architecture, they just expanded their business. And so, you know, they have a lot of gifts that they didn't usually keep in stock. Hmm. So you can, Kim Lane is the Pigtown Main Street Executive Director. She's extremely supportive of Tony and the partnership's efforts. So we all really work together closely here. She would be very happy for us to tell you, you can shop and get Pigtown Bucks to support some of the other stores. Yep. So definitely between now and Christmas time, please go visit all of these businesses because they could really use the support, especially coming out of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you need a break from shopping, I mean, there's plenty of places to eat now too. You mentioned that at the new lounge, but also you have Groundwork Kitchen, and now there's...
They're great, by the way. Yeah, I was just there like a couple weeks ago. Oh my gosh. I had a turkey club sandwich there and it was amazing.
Yes.
Their crab cake for our inauguration of President Jared was delicious too. Do you know anything about their story at all? Or
it's fabulous. So their story is Paul's Place, Bill McLennan, who is retiring at the end of the year, unfortunately. He had a dream to grow their workforce training program. So it's actually a culinary arts workforce development program. So community members enroll if they're interested in that career pathway. They receive 12 weeks of training. They have a full, amazing state-of-the-art kitchen in the basement of the restaurant. So they do all of their training down there. Then they bring them to the back of the house. And then they do a rotation through the front of the house. This is restaurant speak for kitchen versus hostessing versus waitressing, you know. And so that's how they run the operation with the students who are in the program. And then obviously all of the proceeds support this wonderful mission of Paul's Place. So it's fabulous. And as Jenna said, the food is great. And they have an event space. Again, we've taken senior leaders from UMB over there to say, hey, why don't we start having alumni events here? And, you know, really putting our money where our mouth is in terms of investment and supporting these businesses.
And they're still hiring people as well. So if you know folks who are looking for jobs in the culinary arts, they're still looking.
It's like a little culinary boot camp.
That's great.
And then touch on Paul's Place for a second, what they do in case people aren't familiar with.
So Paul's Place does a little bit of everything. So if you are in need of a job, they have a workforce training program there. And Ellen, who is fabulous, a University of Maryland grad, I will have you know, she went to our social work school. She handles their workforce program. You can get a hot meal at Paul's Place every day. You could do your laundry at Paul's Place if you need that. There's a computer lab there. So they have a lot of supports for neighbors across the lifespan who are in need of just some extra help. So it's a fabulous place to volunteer, especially with their lunch program, because I know a lot of people really excited to give back in that way. And so that's a great option for folks.
Right. That's fantastic.
But so we talked about businesses. Why don't we talk about nonprofits in the area? So what are some things that maybe nonprofits are doing during the holidays that community members can either participate in or help with?
So number one, we have our Christmas store coming up. We partner with the Foundry Church, which is a church over in the Federal Hill area. This is probably our fifth year now. We turn the basement here into a Christmas toy store. Families do shop and pay for the toys, but they're deeply discounted, 80% off retail price. And so we always are looking for volunteers for that. Camille Givens Patterson is who you would contact. United Way is another large partner, is particularly in the Poppleton area. They have a couple of holiday events coming up. And so I will just plug that UMB does have a volunteer opportunities webpage that you can get to. If you go to the community engagement site on UMB's page and search for volunteer opportunities, it'll take you to a place where you can find everything from how to help at Thanksgiving to Christmas, volunteer opportunities, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And B&O Roundhouse, I hear they may have something as well.
They have a brand new model train exhibit that is all Baltimore themed, that is amazing. And they're all decorated for the holidays. They have the Polar Express exhibit also. It is a wonderful time. So if you haven't visited the B&O Railroad Museum in December, it is worth the trip.
And I would be remiss if I did not mention the cookie tour.
I was thinking we had to mention the cookie tour.
I'm sorry. I can take a retake. The Union Square Cookie Tour is an annual event where people open up their historic homes in our Union Square neighborhood. And you get to walk through them and see the cool architecture that Baltimore row houses have. It attracts people from across the region, people who come up from D.C. and people who... across the city who
so
really
what people should do, Tony, is they should go to the B&O exhibit and then they should go to the cookie tour on the same day with their whole family and they will have a fabulous holiday. It's either Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday, December 12th.
Okay. And yep. UMB is a sponsor, so we can all feel good about that. And you get lots of free cookies.
Free cookies. Free cookies and beautiful Baltimore architecture.
Just provide your own milk, right?
Yes. And if you're interested in looking at some of the larger homes in the area because you're an employee thinking about the Live Near Your Work program, this is a great way to do a little snooping around in people's homes.
Yes. Like a backdoor open house.
Exactly. Some people actually list their house after the cookie tour because they use it, smart. You know, in that, that way. Is it is smart.
Wow.
Yeah, that is smart.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Live Near Your Work because that brings it back to my next question. So, Tony, I know that Live Near Your Work and is a big piece of part of what Southwest Partnership does to revitalize the homes and infrastructure in the community. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So beyond programs that we have investing in people, we have programs that help rebuild our neighborhoods. And so we do, of course, we have commercial support for businesses, a facade improvement program, help with stabilizing commercial properties, tenant improvement for businesses moving into the space or looking to expand. But we also work on the housing front, too. We have vacants in our neighborhoods that are cause nuisances for residents. And we have strategic areas where we help. We either acquire directly or work with developers to acquire and rehab properties for affordable homeownership. And so part of that affordability also links to Live Near Your Work and Vacants to Value program with the city. You get $10,000 for down payment assistance if it's a formerly vacant property and you're buying it as a homeowner. And so we work with all these different incentives, cobble them together and market them to folks who want to live in our neighborhoods so that we can help rebuild and revitalize together.
That's great.
You're doing so much at the Southwest Partnership, as you mentioned today, between housing and workforce development and helping businesses and residents. How can somebody get involved to help you?
I would say start with coming to our committee meetings. Tony, do you want to run through the different committees that make up?
We have 7 committees of the Southwest Partnership, and they are all resident-led, and not just people who live here, but also folks from the University of Maryland, Baltimore, folks, other stakeholders who work, play, pray in our neighborhoods. They're also stakeholders. And so they all come to these volunteer meetings. There are 7 different categories, 7 different committees. One relates to housing, commercial development, vibrant streets, public safety,
Education, historic preservation,
and
workforce.
There's workforce.
Yes,
I think that's 7.
I lost count.
But there's a little something for everyone. Exactly.
Whatever you're interested in, you can find a way to plug in, see what's going on in this part of town, and find opportunities to get involved and have input.
And they really are looking for more participation in these committees, obviously, because this has been years of monthly meeting after meeting. And so it's great to have fresh perspective come. And so really, you know, there's obviously lots of ways to just volunteer at events. But if you really want to have an impact, I think, you know, coming to support the committees and listening to what the community is lifting up as what they want to see, and then taking that back to the university and saying, huh, I heard this at a Southwest Partnership Education Committee meeting. We could probably be doing a little bit more to help with that. You know, that's really great.
We've had some really great partnerships come out of, you know, students even, you know, I'm learning about this in school. And, you know, I think we maybe could do some pro bono assistance to help businesses, for example, or, you know, and so it's been really cool just to have the diversity of thought and skill set be part of our committees.
Right. And, you know, as a former reporter, these community associations, these community nonprofits, if you really want to know what's happening in your community first before it hits the news, you go to these community meetings because you will find out about what developer is maybe looking around for an opportunity, what business is thinking about coming to the neighborhood, and how they can, you know, get the community to rally around them. You know, these meetings are really where community starts to happen, really. And speaking of what's happening, what's the best way to keep up with the Southwest Partnership for all the news and events that you have going on?
So Southwest Partnership also has a website where it's swpbal.org. Also, you can follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. So on Instagram, we are SWP, as in Southwest Partnership, _ Baltimore. And so you'll see kind of our postings about workforce opportunities, about different projects we're working on, et cetera. And again, that's SWP_ Baltimore. And then, of course, we're on Facebook. If you just type into the search Southwest Partnership Baltimore, we'll come up. And again, that's where we do a lot of posting of events and workshops and other things throughout the year.
I tagged them in an Instagram story today because I needed to get my booster. And it just so happened that the health department was hosting a clinic at Southwest Baltimore Charter School right in my neighborhood, right around the corner. It was so quick and easy, and I just thought, this is fabulous. This is what living 5 minutes from your office and then 5 minutes to your booster shot and being so connected to the community, my life is so efficient today.
Another reason to follow. And do you have a newsletter by chance?
And we also have a newsletter. So if you go to our website and you go under Connect with Us, there'll be an opportunity to sign up for our mailing list, for our e-newsletter that we send out every month, of updates about events, workshops, and just happenings around the partnership.
That's a great way to really know once a month what's happening in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I'll make sure to sign up.
Yeah, great. So sign up for the newsletter, follow on social media, come to committee meetings, do it all.
Yes.
Ashley, Tony, thank you guys so much for coming out and being on the podcast today. It was really awesome catching up.
And buy your house here too.
And yes, buy your house here.
Well, that's spirit change from the holiday markets, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you guys for stopping by today. We really appreciate it.
For being a science-heavy campus, UMB is filled to the brim with artists, performers, and theater aficionados, so much so that UMB has its own Council for the Arts and Culture.
Wow.
And we mentioned the 1807 Art and Literary Journal, but there are even more opportunities to express yourself or enjoy a good performance.
That's right. Our December 16th episode, we'll talk about how you can support local venues, public arts, and museums here at UMB, and so much more. Our guests will be UMB Senior Vice President for External Relations, Jennifer Lichman, and Executive Director of Protocol and Special Events, Nancy Gordon.
And this is the perfect time to remind you to rate, review, and subscribe before our boss, Jennifer, visits us on our next episode.
Yes.
So get those stars up, people. And thanks for tuning in to the UMB Pulse.
The UMB Pulse with Charles Shalee, Dana Rampola, and Jenna Frick is a UMB Office of Communications and Public Affairs production. Edited by Charles Shalee, sound engineering by Jenna Frick, marketing by Dana Rampola. Music by No Vibe, recorded in the University of Maryland, Baltimore Community Engagement Center.